Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We continue to look at the commentary of Quran chapter 12 as we investigate the materials which Muhammad added to the biblical account of Joseph, which does not make any sense. This is extra material, does not fit the biblical account, nor the culture setting in Joseph's days in Egypt, nor reality. So far, we have discovered that the wife of Al-Aziz, that is the wife of the man who bought Joseph in Egypt, was desiring to have a sexual relationship with Joseph. And they were actually about to do it. For he desired her and she desired him, but somehow Allah intervened and stopped this from taking place. They raced to the door of the house, and there they saw her husband, who, by the way, did not get upset at all. It was okay with him to see what is going on, and he declared to her that she needs to seek forgiveness for her sin, and that this is just some jealousy of the women. And he did not, and I say again, he did not remove Joseph from his house, and he did not punish his wife because she was trying to cheat on him, which does not fit with the Egyptian culture at all, especially when we know how important this man was. He was the Potiphar, one of the top leaders of Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And to prove our point, as we continue with the story of the Quran, we see that Joseph still lived in the house of that man. And now we're going to add this made-up story by Muhammad in the Quran, which began at verse 30 of Quran chapter 12. And there we read, "And the women of the city said." Now, what women? The women of the city where Joseph used to live. Who are these women? Well, they are the women who live in the city where Joseph used to live. How did they know about what's happening between Joseph and his master's wife? Well, because you just have to use your imagination. The entirety of the best of the Quran is built on imagination, because you could not come up with true information to prove that this is exactly what happened. Let's continue with the story. Here is what these women said. The wife of Al-Aziz, and we stop here for a minute. Who is Al-Aziz? That is the man who bought Joseph. Joseph was a slave in his house. Al-Aziz, that is the name of the man. If you do not have any information about Egypt or the language and the culture of Egypt, you may believe the story. But in Egypt, we did not have Al-Aziz. This is a made-up story because there is no name by Al-Aziz in Egypt. That's an Arab name, not an Egyptian name, which means a deer. Aziz is deer. Azizi, my dear. Azisti is a feminine form, my dear. Al-Aziz, the dear one. What is the problem with that? It's a big problem. Imagine with me when I tell you one of the early fathers, the founder of this great country of America, was by the name Muhammad Hussein al-Sattar. If I say that, everybody in America will laugh at me. Why? Because there is no one in the early American fathers have the name Muhammad Abd al-Sattar or any of these Arab Muslim names. As we know, the first name of a Muslim president in America is Barack Hussein Obama, who served between 2008 to 2016. But besides that, there is not one of the presidents or the early fathers of America who was by these Arab Muslim names. That is exactly the same problem I have with the name Al-Aziz. But let's continue with the fabricated story of Muhammad in the Quran. The woman of Al-Aziz, the Quran meant the wife of Al-Aziz, has sought to seduce her young man. Once again, how did they know that? Did her husband announce it to the neighborhood? Did somebody wrote about it in the pyramid's paper at that day? Obviously, this is just a made-up story. Let's continue with the story. We continue to read in the Quran, he has infatuated her with love. Surely, we see her in obvious error. Why do they think she's in an obvious error? You mean it is wrong for her to do that? After all, I did not see her husband said anything wrong with that, except he acted like a good Baptist preacher by asking her to seek forgiveness for her sin. If that's exactly what Allah meant when he said, ask forgiveness for your sins, as we read in Quran chapter 12 and verse 29. Now let us continue with the made-up story of Muhammad. For in verse 31 we read, so when she heard of their deceit, oh, the news traveled fast. So-and-so said something about an Aziz wife who told somebody else, who told somebody else, and now all the women of the city learn about her affair with her young man, and now somehow somebody went back to her and said, hey, my friend, here is some bad news. The women of the city are talking about you. You need to defend yourself. You need to bring your respect and your honor back, and on, as you can use your imagination to understand these verses of the Quran. Let's see, what did the wife of Al-Aziz do to fix that problem? As it is written in the continuation of verse 31, she sent for them and prepared a banquet for them and gave each of them a sikkin. Sikkin is a non-Arabic word, which means knife, from Aramaic Syriac origin. Imagine with me, the wife of Al-Aziz, the woman who sought to seduce Joseph, heard about the rumor spread all over the city about her relationship with her young slave, Joseph, and now she bring everybody in her house and preparing this nice, beautiful dinner, and somehow she gave each and every one of them a knife. All these ladies sitting on her table, and they're about to have this great banquet, and somehow each and every one of them had a knife in their hands. And she said, that is Al-Aziz's wife, Joseph, come out to them. So when they saw him, meaning Joseph, they were amazed at him and cut their hands and said, Allah forbid, this is not a human, this is but a generous angel. Wow, the woman of the city in Egypt believe in Allah? And I say again, wow, what a great imagination from the fabricator of the verses of the Quran. He was so beautiful. He was so handsome. He was so attractive. Now they can't help it, but each and every one of these women, but to cut their hands, knowing that this is not a human, this is a generous angel. As we continue with the story, we'll find out they all fall in love with Joseph, just as Al-Aziz, his master's wife, fall in love with Joseph. And they all desired for Joseph to be involved with them sexually. Let's continue with the story to prove what I'm telling you here. She said, that is his master's wife, this is he about whom you blamed me, and indeed I thought to seduce him, so he refuses. Wow, what a great confession. She's not embarrassed of herself. She's no longer ashamed of herself, because that is the reality. She liked him so much and she wanted him sexually, but he refused. But listen to the rest of the verse, but if he does not do what I commanded him, so surely will be imprisoned and be of the disgrace. Man, oh man, what is it? Hollywood? It's even worse than Hollywood. This is not a movie. This is the true story as Allah declared it in the Quran, Quran chapter 12. And that is the best of the stories of Muhammad in Quran, as we have read in Quran chapter 12 and verse 3. That this is the best of the story which Muhammad received from Allah. Verse 33. He said, now Joseph is speaking, my Lord, the prison is more loved by me than that which they call me to. What is that? Joseph does not want to be involved with his master's wife or what the rest of the women of the city wanted him to do, which is to be involved sexually with all of these women. As some Egyptian joked about it and said, Joseph must be a very, very holy man, or the wife of Al-Aziz must be a very, very ugly woman. And so is the rest of the women of the city.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Continuing with Joseph in verse 33, "And if you do not turn away their devices from me, I will lean toward them and I will become of the foolish." Oh man, what a prayer. It is Joseph asking Allah to stop these women from seeking him. It is not to fix his own heart toward them, but to fix their desire towards him. Once again, let me read to you. "And if you do not turn away their devices from me, I will lean toward them and I will become of the foolish." So in simple words, oh Allah, help me. I don't want to sin with all these women. Please make them change their mind about me. Make them think of somebody else, but not me. Now let us see how Allah will answer the prayer of Joseph. So his Lord answered him in verse 34. "So he took away their devices from him." So Allah somehow performed a miracle. And all these women of the city, including his own master's wife, somehow no longer desired or wanted to be with Joseph. We continue in verse 34. "Surely he is the hearing, the knowing." Wait a minute. I saw 34, that was the words of the Lord. So his Lord answered him and continued, "Surely he is the hearing, the knowing." Why Allah did not say, "Surely I am the hearing, the knowing. I heard your prayer, O Joseph, and I know what you're going through and what you're struggling with, and I am helping you out." No, somehow Muhammad in the Quran does not know who started the sentence, and he ended by a third person speaking on the behalf of Allah. In verse 35, "Then it occurred to them after they saw the signs to imprison him for a time." First of all, I have no idea what signs Allah is speaking about here. And I have no idea. How did Muhammad move an innocent young man, Joseph, who was about to sin with his master's wife, and his master was not upset about it, especially when he found out it was actually his wife is the one who wanted to cheat with Joseph, and he left them together by themselves in his house. And now we learn about the fabricated story about all the women of the city who heard about her infatuation. And now she got this party, and all of them cut their hands, and all of them, they were bleeding because how they were impressed with the beauty and the generosity of that Joseph. And now they all wanted to be involved with Joseph sexually. And now Joseph cried out to Allah, and Allah answered his prayer, and they are no longer want to be involved with him sexually. And somehow, he still go to prison. Why? Because Al-Aziz's wife is the one who put him in prison. Let me remind again. Here's what she said in verse 32. But if he does not do what I commanded him, which is to be involved with me sexually, he surely will be imprisoned and be of the disgraced. Yes, indeed. She is the one who put Joseph in prison. And she is the one who disgraced him. Instead of being in a comfortable home, now he is in an uncomfortable prison. Instead of he have access to all the food and the pleasure, now he have a limited amount of food and pleasure. Instead of he sleep in my comfortable bed with me, now he sleep on the floor of some prison. Instead of we get this and we get that. That is how Muslim scholars understand the verses of the Quran. And how they interpret such statement by Al-Aziz's wife. Once again, let me remind you that the entire story we shared so far is made up. It is foolish to believe that this is the perfect story of Joseph. It is foolish to believe that this is the perfect and most important story of the Quran. The best of the Quran. If that is the best of the Quran, what do we leave for the rest of the Quran? And now we see Joseph in prison. Is this really what happened in the Bible? I will remind you again by the true biblical account for us to know that the imprisonment of Joseph was not by Al-Aziz's wife, but it was by Potiphar, the husband of the wife. And it's not because Muhammad made up the story in that foolish way in the Quran that means this is the true account of what happened to Joseph, but what is written in the Bible is the true account. Not only because it is the truth of the Bible, but because it fit with the culture of Joseph's day. In Genesis chapter 39, after Joseph lifted his garment with his master's wife and he ran out, we read in verse 16, so she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. That is the true biblical account. That is what took place. And I'm not surprised if it is not God's protection for Joseph that he would have been killed on the spot. But because God has a plan for Joseph's life, and he did not do anything wrong with his master's wife, as she lied and she claimed, that's why the husband just got angry, just got aroused, and he threw Joseph in that prison for the continuation of the life of Joseph to be fulfilled. For once again, if this was not God's plan for Joseph, for sure he would have been killed by the hand of his master. After all, when you buy a slave in such time, you own him. It's like buying a cow. It's like buying a camel. You can do whatever you want to do to him. You may kill him. You may sell him to somebody else. But that's not what happened in Joseph's life. Continuing in verse 21, we read, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Something we don't read in the Quran. Muhammad did not know the detail of Joseph's life when he lived in the present. Amazingly, Muhammad can add nonsensical material to the story of Joseph and the Quran concerning the wife of Al-Aziz and the woman of the city and their desire to be involved with him sexually, and on with what we covered in this broadcast. But when it comes to something important after the true biblical account, information which we just have read, that now Joseph in prison, Muhammad did not mention any of this information in the Quran. In verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Now we can see why Joseph will be involved with the prisoners in that prison. How Joseph will meet with the two men who were put in prison by Pharaoh, and how he will learn about their dreams and how he will interpret such dreams. In the Quran, we have no idea. All what we see in the Quran, as we're going to see in our next broadcast, that two young men have dreams and they ask Joseph to interpret the dreams from the blue sky without knowing the setting, the previous information, which gave us a true understanding for how Joseph was able to communicate with these two people. Continue in the last verse for our podcast for today, in verse 23 of Genesis 39. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Similar to the same wording we read about when Joseph was in charge of his master's house. He was involved in everything, and everything he touched was blessed. Similar here in the prison. These three verses, 21, 22, and 23 of Genesis chapter 39, will help the reader to understand what is coming in Genesis chapter 40. And more important, it will help the reader to understand what's happening in Quran chapter 12, beginning from verse 36, as we will see once again in our next broadcast. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.